Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
Today we're going to talk about kingdom living. Kingdom living starts within. Kingdom living starts within. Can you say to your neighbor, it starts within? It starts within. So we started the series by saying that the Sermon on the Mountain spells it pretty clearly of how we're called to live our lives. Sometimes what happens is that we don't know exactly how a Christian should live. We guess it, and we try to figure things out. And this is why the Word of God was given to us, right? The Word of God was given to us so that we might know how to live. And sometimes what happens, and that's what happened with the Pharisees, they got caught in a bubble, in a system, and they only saw the system, they only saw their little circle, and they did not see God in it. Or God had no place in it. And so they continued to do their stuff, impose stuff on people, and Jesus was addressing it. So what Jesus came to do was to blow their bubble. How many of you want to see your bubble blow? not too sure about that one, right? But what they needed was to see the truth. And sometimes that's what we need too, to see the truth. So if you look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus talks to the crowd, to his disciples, to the spiritual leaders, and he says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Meaning that if I stop here for a moment, the law was given so that we might see that we are sinners and we need help. And so Jesus fulfills the law, meaning that through him, I'm able to find justification in faith, through faith. And he says in verse 18, "I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." And it's accomplished at the cross, but it's also in motion right now, right? As he will come back one day. In verse 19, it says, "Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be great in the kingdom of heaven." And if you look at verse 20, that's the punchline. And this is where I started the series with. It says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Like I said 2 weeks ago, that was a big statement. Because the teachers of the law and the Pharisees were put on the pedestal. Like, wow. They had a wow factor. Wow, we want to be like them. Or they are spiritual. But Jesus said that your righteousness should be higher, deeper than theirs. And what does that mean? Jesus would add more stuff? No. What Jesus was addressing was the heart of the law. And this is where the Pharisees lost the heart of the law, the meaning of the law, what the law was supposed to bring. And so what happened is that they created a system and they were not transparent before the law. They focused on the exterior, not realizing the law was there to penetrate our hearts, to teach us that we need Christ in our lives, to teach us that we need help, that we need to be rescued. And Jesus fulfills the law by being that answer to my brokenness. So it's very important for us to see this. Like Jesus was calling the Pharisees blind leading the blind. And so when you look at how the Pharisees did it, they were finding ways to go around the law and to have their ways. They were twisting and modifying the application of the law, basically to look good. And look what it says in Matthew 15, verse 7 about this. And Jesus, in Matthew 15, exposes that. He says to the Pharisees, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. For he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce or a joke, for they teach man-made idea as commands from God.'" So what Jesus was doing here, he was addressing their system belief. They were not focusing on the right thing. And their focus was not, or their emphasis was not on what God had in mind. And so you see here the danger that we learn from this, what I just said, is that you can live your life in a bubble. You can live your life thinking that you're doing things right, but you might not, and you might be off course. And what defines if you're off course or not is when the Word of God, like it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, where you are renewed by the work of the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, or where there's you don't see your need of God, and you don't see that without God, you're lost. And what happened is that they created a system to live by. And so Jesus is addressing that. If you look at verse 11, he says, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that comes out of your mouth. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you realize you're offending the Pharisees by what you just said? What he was doing, it was debunking their system. Because they were focusing on the outside, on the exterior, and they were not addressing the heart. Their heart was not addressed. They were not looking at becoming more like Jesus or becoming more like the love that you find in the law, loving God and loving your neighbor. In verse 16, it says, don't you understand yet? Jesus asked, anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. But the word you speak comes from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. And look at what he says after. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. So maybe a kid will say here, I don't have to wash my hands, Mom. I'm free before. I don't have to wash my hand before having supper. But you see what the Pharisees did? They created a system where they focused on the washing of the hands. And the heart of God was a washing of the heart, of the soul, freeing us from within. So what they did is they created a system focused on behavior, and they twisted everything. They twisted the law so that they can do whatever they wanted to do, but at the same time, look good. But inside, they were broken. Inside, they needed help, right? And so this is what we find in this text, what Jesus is addressing. Jesus is addressing the condition of the heart. So it's so dangerous for us to go through the motion, especially if you've been a Christian for many years. The danger of just going through the motion, living your bubble, finding ways or finding excuses to justify how you live. What happens, you create your own gospel and you create your own belief system. And we see this in the church in North America, where we see people believe stuff that are contrary to God's word. And you see, where did you get to that? It's because they stopped being vulnerable. They've stopped being transparent, where they stop wanting to see God move in them and speak to them and change them from the inside. So if we look in the verses of Matthew chapter 5, the first topic he addresses, look at what's in your heart. Can you say to your neighbor, I want to see my heart. Can you see this? Can you say that? Look at what's in your heart. Have you ever heard siblings or friends say, you know, they went to a fight and they have to give an account, and one of the kids said, well, I didn't kill him. Like, you know, but I wanted to, but I didn't kill him. It's like the Pharisees, they brought the rule of killing. It's like, you shall not murder, but everything under is okay, kind of. But he didn't die, so I didn't commit a sin. He's still alive, but what I did wasn't very nice or wasn't very godly, right? And so if you look at verse 21, it says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But look what he says here. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raka, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin was the religious court where you would be brought if you would walk in immorality. But anyone who says to you, you fool, like Mr. T, you fool, will be in danger of fire of hell. So what is Jesus saying here? That it's wrong to be angry? No, anger is part of life. But it's what's the source of your anger? What's the motive of your anger? Like it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, and don't sin by letting your anger control you. And so what Jesus is talking about beyond murder, what is burning inside of you? What are you keeping in your heart that feeds this anger? Like, you look at the story of the first murder in the Bible where Cain murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? It's because of jealousy and pride. That's why he did it. It was a heart issue, right? And it's like you react. So Jesus was saying, murder is wrong, but if you treat others wrongly, it's also wrong. Like a few weeks ago, well, basically 2 weeks ago, I had the privilege to go preach in Quebec Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in a conference. And me and Josue was with me. And one night, the first night on the way, we were exhausted, very tired. We go to bed, and the adjacent room that had, you know, those rooms where you have a door inside, but it's good thing it's locked, right? But it was so noisy next door, like I couldn't sleep. Like they were, I don't know, they were knocking, bang, 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 bang all the time, opening the door. No, don't come. I don't know what's happening, but it was like 1:30, 2 o'clock, and I wasn't sleeping, and I was thinking about all that I needed to do that week, and I became a little anxious. And guess what I did when I got up in the morning? It wasn't praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. It was maybe praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. I wanted to be loud because I was angry, right? And I was speaking loud to Josue, and Josue said, why are you speaking that loud? I'm just there. So yeah, well, I've got another agenda here. I want to wake up those guys on the other side of the room here because, hey, I went to bed late because of them. I'm going to make sure that they get up early because of me. See? Then you got to look at your heart, right? Was it right for me to get angry? For sure. But what do I do with my anger? Right? What do I do with my anger? And so the thing what Jesus was addressing here is your heart condition. Like, don't put the ruler, well, I didn't murder him. Like, it's not bad. He's not dead. He's still alive. But what's in your heart? What bubbles out of your heart, right? And so Jesus is talking about the condition of our hearts. And the word raka means calling someone bonehead, really. Airhead, stupid. It refers to verbal abuse. That's what it says, verbal abuse. Like when it says, you fool, in the Aramaic word, the Aramaic word is moros, and this is where we have the word moron. Hey, 2,000 years ago, they called people morons too. But the word moron, it talks about moral wasted life, rubbish, calling people loser, not worth living. And so what Jesus is saying here is that, okay, you're not called to murder, but how do you treat people with your mouth? Like, what comes out of your mouth? I remember watching a commercial when I was a teenager. They were talking about verbal abuse. And there was this nice-looking lady. And when she looked at herself in the mirror, she had all kinds of scars. When she would remove herself from the mirror, she was fine. And she was carrying a lot of scars because of verbal abuse. And so what Jesus was saying here, like, don't lower your standard to murder. How do you treat others with your lips? From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And so sometimes we're just loose with our lips and we say whatever we want, and then we can justify, well, I didn't murder anybody. But you were not godly, right? Like Luke chapter 6, verse 45 said, a good person produces good things from the treasure of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasure of an evil heart. So what you say flows from what is in your heart. So that's what Jesus is addressing. And the question I have for you, how's your heart? What do you carry in your heart? What's hidden in your heart? We know this, and I said that many times. Whatever is inside will come out. It's a question of time. A circumstance or an event will bring things up. And if you don't deal with your heart issues, it will compile. And it's going to be even worse. Like I look at Cain, it's not overnight that he killed his brother. He let it build up to a point where he lost control. So Jesus was saying, before you lose control, deal with your heart. And we all have stuff, right? We have relationship, family, work people, church people, neighborhoods, and so on. And so Jesus is saying, before you just put the top of not murder, what about what you say and how do you treat others? So it's important for us to see that. It's important for us to look at our heart condition. The second topic he brings is don't let things fester. Talks about that. Verse 23 says, therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and then remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Wow. Before you go to God, before you do that, first go and be reconciled with your brother and then come and offer your gift. That means don't let things fester. And he gives another example on business-wise, or when it comes to life. Settle matters quickly. That's a good principle to live life with. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. So you're being taken to court, so he's got something against you. And he says, and Jesus says, do it while you're still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid your last penny. What Jesus is saying here is, why are you dragging it to court? I'm not saying it's bad to go to don't email me to say, is it like when it comes to, is it bad to bring things to court? I'm not addressing that. And because that's not really what Jesus is addressing. Jesus is addressing the why. Why are you doing it? What's your heart intent? What are you keeping in your heart? What is taking root in your heart? It's the same thing when it comes to your brother. Don't let things fester. Just don't focus on the spiritual and you go through the motion. And you do your things with Jesus, but your relationships are not healthy, and you think it's okay. No. And so it's taking responsibility and making amends, promoting reconciliation and harmony in relationships. It's, in other words, don't let things escalate. Can you say that to your, can you say it better than me to your neighbor? Don't let things escalate. No. Don't let it. Sometimes we think that time fixes all things. It's not true. Time is given for us to fix things. Time doesn't fix anything. Time is given to us so we can fix it. It's very important, right? So you don't want to let things fester. Sometimes the longer you wait, most of the time when you don't deal with it, it just gets worse. You deepen a crust, you grow a crust, you harden your heart, you justify your behavior. You're creating yourself, you create a belief system to justify so that you can have a certain peace in your heart, right? So the second topic, he says, don't let things fester. And the third topic Jesus addresses is don't put yourself in the context of fail. Don't put yourself in the context of fail. In verse 27, it says, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And you will see that verse 27 I just read is connected with divorce in verse 32, and I'll expand on that later on. Like, when he talks about lust, it doesn't talk about finding someone beautiful. Finding someone beautiful is not lust, but it's when you desire that person for yourself and you don't care about the consequences. And it's in your imagination as you fantasize and you create romance in your mind and your heart, this is where it's wrong. You know, there's a price for lust. We think that lust is hidden and nobody sees it, but there's a price for lust. If you are married and you're lusting, there's a cost to that. And you're single and you're lusting, there's a cost to that. It brings soul ties in your heart. It brings bondages in your heart. It brings, what happened is, like, especially when it comes to marriage, it will bring put downs, showing not showing emotion, affection like you should, or you compare, or you take your distance, you're not content with your relationship. And so what lust does, it brings you into prison. And that's what Jesus was addressing. He was saying, I want you to be free, but deal with your heart issues. And realize that I have come to deal with your heart issues. So you don't want to carry stuff in your heart that will sink you. So don't let yourself be in a context to fail. And then he goes on in verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Verse 30, and if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. Verse 32, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress, and anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. I'll focus on 31 and 32 after verse 29 and 30. So what Jesus is saying here is that if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Well, he's not saying that we should cut a hand, and I think you get that, right? He's not saying to do that physically. But what he's saying is that, like, be smart on how you do your life. Deal with your heart issue and put guards around your heart. Like, I remember this story when I was a young adult. A friend of mine wanted to bring this girl to she needed a ride to go to university. And I know that he had a thing for her. And I know that she was not a godly woman. She had a track record of a way of life. And I told him, I was saying, you know, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't go. But you know what he said to me? Like, I have to prove to myself that I'm fine, I'm good. Well, he came back. You probably guessed what happened. Came back all this courage. And I told him, I told you so. You put yourself in a context where you cause yourself to be vulnerable and you put yourself there. So what Jesus is saying is, don't put yourself in the context that you know that it'd be dangerous for you. It's like, for example, if you know you should eat donuts, don't have coffee in a donut shop. Like, come on, you know? If you're on social media and it causes you to sin, well, you know, one of the good thing, the thing you can do, it's go on that on your phone, press on the app, it starts to flash, and you press the X, and you say, I don't want in my life. Sometimes what we want to do is, oh, I want to prove that I can do it. But sometimes the best way is just eliminate things in your life that causes you to sin. You know? And that's what Jesus was talking about. Like, if you got things in your life that causes you to fall, move away from that and experience freedom. And maybe later on you can come back when there's a greater freedom. I don't know. But maybe you'll never go back. I know for me, when it comes to social media, like, it's more like I come online, I got to be careful, I guess. I don't know, but there's so much junk. It's unreal, you know? I remember a few years ago, I'm just scrolling, and then one thing leads to another, and then I'm finding watching something I shouldn't watch. So I said, no, I don't need that in my life. So what do I do? Well, then I got to decide. Do I want to keep that, or will I eliminate it? So I chose to eliminate it. And some people say, well, you should be more on social media. No, thank you. That's me. That's my personal journey, because I know what it does. If you have problem, if you were an alcoholic before being a Christian, now you're a Christian, well, maybe you should not drink, because it might stir up stuff from the past. So that's what Jesus is talking about, right? And like I said, don't get caught in the place where you try to prove yourself, don't try to prove something to yourself. It's not worth the risk. Verse 31, This is where he talks about anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. One of the things that happened in biblical time is that you could divorce your wife and not give her a certificate, and then the only way that she could live is to beg after. So he said, if you're going to get divorced, give her a certificate so she can start over her life, and she can have a bit of what you have so that she can move on. So Jesus says that. But then he goes to the core. He says, but the only reason why you should get divorced is because of unfaithfulness. And this is what, it was a big thing for them, because the lady were not really unfaithful, because they were at home and they had like a lot of kids, and so they were at home. It was more the men that struggled with it. Actually, there was a school, the Hillel school, believe, and I'm not coming up with this. This is what an historian, a Jewish historian of biblical time wrote. Believe the man could divorce his wife for any reason according to Joseph. And these example is what he wrote. Like spoiling his dinner by adding too much salt. Out. Or she talked with another man on the street. Out. Or she spoke disrespectfully to her husband's parents. Out. Or she became plain looking compared to other ladies. Out. And so Jesus says, you want to get divorced? Well, then there needs to be unfaithfulness. But the problem, there was no unfaithfulness. You know what the problem was? Lust. It goes back to lust. There was a lust. They were not happy. They were looking for something else, someone else. And they justified the law, and they play with the law to make it possible for them to justify their behavior. So it's important for us not to twist the word of God for our advantage. And so what we find in this story is, in this text, is Jesus is focusing on my heart condition. And so the Pharisees are focusing on the outside, on the appearance, and Jesus is just talking about the heart. And that's one of the things, the reason why they wanted to kill him. Because let's cover everything. Let's just go through the motion. Let's just look good. And we don't want to walk in that way, because this is not what Christ has called us to walk like. And so my challenge for you this morning, and the question I have, what's in your heart? What are the unresolved issues in your heart? What's there? And don't cover it. Don't pretend it's not there. Like, just don't go through the motion. Don't just move on. Say, God, help me. One of the values that we have as a church is to have Jesus as a functional Lord, not as a figurehead. I was raised with Jesus as a figurehead on a crucifix that had no voice to speak in my life. But I want to have his voice. I want to hear him. I want him to speak to me, even though if I don't want to hear what he has to say. As a believer, I want to see him, because I want to see him speak to me, because he's my Lord. And then I've got to ask him his help for me to walk in it, because I can't. You know, that's the beauty. As I finish this, what God is saying, what Jesus is saying, is that the way that you can fulfill the law, it's not by your own energy, by who you are, but it's by the reality of Christ in us and by the work of the Holy Spirit. So I invite you this morning to look at this reality, that God is looking for my heart. And don't be caught in a system where your heart is not engaged. Amen? I would ask you to stand. Maybe you're here for the first time, and like I said, maybe you've been here for a long time. What's in your heart? Father, I just pray that we would embrace humility and brokenness and sincerity. That we would look at these examples that we find in Scripture where you showed us how to live. That you want us not to be caught with lust, and you don't want us to let things fester. That you want us to focus on the right things, on heart issues. Father, I just pray that I would not be in a system where I don't see what you want to do in my life, a place where you're not invited to the table, but I do my own things, and I justify what I do without having your input. Father, help us to desire your input. Help us to desire to have you at the table, to expose things in our hearts so that we can be free. Father, what we really are talking about this morning, it's the fact that you've called us for freedom. You've called us to be free in the inside. And my prayer, Father, is that all of us, we would choose freedom. But that freedom is linked to surrender. That freedom is linked to let go. And when we do this, something happens. This is where you step in. You want to step in my life. You want to step in my relationships, Lord. Father, I don't want to build a system where you're not invited. I don't want to build a system where I can't hear your voice. I pray that you would penetrate this system of mine and that you would speak truth so that I would walk in freedom. We thank you that you're a good God. And it's for freedom that you've called us. So if you're here this morning and you're not following Jesus, well, you know about Jesus on a religious matter. You know, Christianity is not about rules and regulation. It's about heart. It's about being real. It's about being sincere. And it's about inviting God in your situation and letting him lead and let him have his way. And you'll see tremendous blessings if you let him do that. And you will see tremendous blessing if you let him continue to do that as you journey as a believer. So Father, I just pray that we would be a people that has a heart for you and a heart that is sensitive and tender to hear you, that we would not be a people caught in systems. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.